What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Seltzer Time Podcast. It's your boy Ricky, aka Dick Chuck, aka the man behind the can at Seltzer Time Official. Here, as always, with my conversation accomplice, the man with the hunch about Worcester, Travis.
What is cracking, Fizzle Fiends? Welcome back to another episode of the Seltzer Time Podcast. And per usual, we are stoked that you're here. This week on the show, we are talking to Adiel Mejia, the Worcester Youth Poet Laureate. We are so pumped to have him on. Adiel, how's it going, my dude?
Yo, what's up, Travis? How's it going, Ricky? Thank you guys for having me on the show. And mainly, what's up to my people listening? Thank
yeah,
you guys
that's what's up.
Tuning in. But so, I'm doing great. I'm doing real good this week. Actually, you know what? This month has been super perspective changing at the same time as just exciting. I'm having a lot of fun this month, doing things that I never thought I could. And that's,
I love
it. It's only the beginning of the summer, you know?
Yeah, respect. And you're really just getting into this. But just to set the stage for anybody that doesn't understand, what is the Worcester Youth Poet Laureate? What is that role and what does it mean?
All right. So before being the Worcester Youth Poet Laureate, before I go into Worcester Youth Poet Laureate,
please.
I never really considered myself to be a poet, a writer. Yes, of course. I've been a writer for a long time now. So when I was introduced to the youth or even the poet laureate was in class, I think my junior year, and they described it to me as just a keeper of all poetries in America, somebody who sponsors it, who's about it, real life about the poetry. So that's kind of my first knowledge of it, personally, my introduction. And then fast forward like 4 years later, now just a normal dude, still a kid, but just a normal dude. And I was practicing some writings, and I am a very open book. I decided to share it with a few of, co-workers and stuff, a few mentors, and they introduced me to the project or the official, I don't know how you call it, official, the official program of Poet Laureate / Youth Poet Laureate in Worcester, and they also told me it's the second year. I'm the second Youth Poet Laureate, first Latino. Oop, oop.
Big honors.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And
so it means you're about
poetry? I wasn't
poetry.
Really going to go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I wasn't really going to go for it because I thought my first introduction was I had to be, you know, I had to know about Shakespeare and Maya Angelou and, you know, I had to know my stuff, but I found out that it's really about the arts rather than the poetry itself, because a lot of the youth in Worcester don't really read poetry. They're not very poetically inclined or anything. We don't really have a huge poetry scene out here. So my job is, what I consider my job is to be an advocate for the arts, to continue an entrepreneurial path in order to show others my age that they can do it too. And I've been working with a few organizations, a few talented people, hardworking, very driven people to make that a possible. And I think so far into it, I am exceeding my own expectation. Definitely I'm exceeding others' expectations, but hey, maybe I might be falling on others, but I'm definitely exceeding what I thought I could do with this position. And we're only, I think just over 6 months. So we're just over a quarter of a way through my little term. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great.
So each term is 2 years?
Correct. Correct. Cool, cool. I'm pretty sure the Poet Laureate, that term is either 3 years or it's 2 years, but it does it in a weird little switch off way where the first Youth Poet Laureate had the mentor Juan Matos, who is still the current poet laureate, and he's going to be leaving that position come next year, but I'll still be here. So I know that this last 2 years, and there was one person before me, I don't know how the poet laureate works, but I do know that I will be having two poet laureates during my term.
That's awesome. Are you learning a lot from Juan? Like, are you using him as a resource to further your craft? Or is he more just like another person in the scene that you're just...
I definitely look up to him. I got to meet him. We had breakfast together. He really reminded me of a lot of family members and just people I grew up with. So we were close. We hit it off. But since then, we're both very busy. So it's hard to just come together and just chop it up. But he has been very helpful to me. He's boosted my confidence in a lot of situations. The very first time we met, I swear to God, this is one of the craziest things that happened to me this year. So right after we were done, we paid the bill, whatever, whatever, and we're about to leave. And he goes, "Watch this." And he gets up and he goes to the cooks. We're at the Miss Worcester Diner, by the way. Nice. Just to put it in y'all's heads, we're at a booth, and now he gets up and he calls over to the person serving us, and he said, "Hello, man, did you know that this young man is Worcester's Youth Poet Laureate?" And I was like, "Juan, wait, no." And then he just kept going around the whole restaurant, just introducing me. And what I found was what his example, or what he was trying to teach me, was that I was appreciated, because everybody who heard that, they didn't go, "Yeah, whatever." They'd be like, "Oh, wow." I don't know if it was just because they were put on the spot, but it just felt really good because they looked at me not for my name, but for what my craft is, what I do. So yeah, he's done it on multiple occasions. Now I'm used to it. Now every time I'm seeing him, I'm waiting to get loud. I'm already like, "Hey, Juan." But just that was my first impression of the guy. And I know that even though, yeah, we've been a little busy, poetry month just happened, we're gonna work together. And he has knowledge on the scene that I need to know in order to progress as an artist and a poet.
So do you like go do like open mic nights, or are there poetry slams that happen in the city that you go and take part in? Like, how's it?
I honestly love charity work. I love just showing up, feeling like I'm part of the crowd, hanging out, and then going up to perform. A lot of my like open mics and stuff, I keep on the real low. Like, I'd like to just show up, perform my poetry, and earn that respect. I feel like it really just, it puts my ego down, because I know there's not people there waiting for me, and you know, so it's good. I like doing poetry, and especially just charity events where, yeah, I'll get that sense of appreciation, but I am there just to perform.
Yeah.
Like the Creative Hub event.
That was not a charity performance. That I got paid for that.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. So I was gonna follow with my whole love charity and stuff. Your boy gotta pay the bills. So
working.
Yeah. Exactly. Usually when it's not for a purpose of giving, and they just want me to perform, I charge about $200 at the moment. Oh my God. Hopefully I like become successful and I'm like, I charge $200,000, and I look at this, I'm like, wow, you're broke. But no,
dude,
I charge,
my dude, charge, you're gonna get to a point where you don't even discuss rates out there.
Yeah.
You get your manager to handle that shit.
Oh, get my there, gosh. My dude. But no, yeah, it's that's kind of where I find the average of getting paid is. I'm really grateful when I get paid, because when I was before being poet laureate, they kind of just were like, we don't even want you to perform. So now it's real dope.
Okay. That's how it's done, man. You take that title and ride it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, it's fun to watch you figure out what your craft is. And like, I've had the pleasure of seeing you perform a number of times now, and I can watch the confidence in you and kind of as you command. I was also at an event where it was either the wrong situation for you or the audience just wasn't tuned in correctly. It just didn't sit right. And it was still fascinating to watch you perform and watch you kind of like process that as an artist, because I don't know, like, you're at a point in your life where, like you said, you're bound for the stars, but it is super cool that nobody knows who you are at this point. So you could kind of like have fun with the anonymity and like do weird shit and like try out weird shit before people start expecting things from you. Cause that's always the thing you hear about these like hip hop artists. They write a song that blows up and they want, you know, their fans want every song that's like that, that next one. But it's like, God damn, it's hard work to write one hit, let alone three.
Yeah, I think for me it's a super comfortable area where I am right now, where some the people who are there are ready for that show, so I give it to them. But then there's so many people who I almost, you know, shock, and it's a real good feeling. It's a great feeling because I'm a very free spirit, and I think a lot of my life is balanced in between fighting the opinions of others while also trying to just, you know, be myself. I actually really tuned into that today. I went to this really cool like superhero workshop where I'm working with the youth center and a couple of really cool cats, and we're gonna be creating the Wisterverse. And okay. It's basically just Wister's talent, Wister's leaders, and we're going to make superhero comics out of them and hopefully even get a film-like thing going. Because Wister's big enough where people know what's up, but it will also introduce many people to Wister. So that's kind of where I find myself as an artist. I just use that for example because that's where I'm at right now. I'm at the point where I'm still building my superhero. I don't know my powers. It's like, did you guys watch Shazam?
With Shaq?
No.
No, not with Shaq.
I don't know. What's Shaq?
That's Kazam. Shazam is a character in the DC universe. He's basically a kid that puts on a ring and does a magic saying and he becomes a superhero.
So exactly. A kid gets chosen to be a superhero, and he's from foster care. He's just, you know, and he's doesn't really have many talents, kind of a loser. And he's given this chance to be a superhero. And throughout the entire movie, you guys got to watch this movie now that I'm talking about it. But they're trying to test his superpowers. And his friend creates a whole little checklist. And it's like, they do a flying thing, check. Strength, check. Are you bulletproof? Check. That's where I'm at right now. I'm like, am I this? Am I that? What am I not? Can I fly? Can I spit super heat? Can I, where is my limits? And as of right now, I just, other than focusing, I think I have no limits. So where we're on that track.
That's what's that. All right, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah,
that way, good for you guys. I'm into it.
So no, seriously, it's cool. It's super cool. What's up?
Like, do you have something you're building towards? Like, is this, do you have a plan to stay in the performative arts? Do you have writing in your future? Like, where do you see yourself going, say, in the next 6 months?
Well, first, I want to talk short term before I go into the whole bigger picture,
whatever just you're feeling,
you guys got to know what canvas I'm using, the type of paint, and no, short term, I want to be taken serious, and I mean that by artist, by business, politicians.
What does that mean though? What does that mean to be taken serious?
it means that I want the stereotype gone. Whenever somebody looks at me, I want them to not expect anything, but expect everything. To where you look at somebody like who's either higher than you or mutual to you. And I'd rather be mutual, but you know, I like also being a leader. I like being, you know, hey, you do this, you do that, which we'll get to that in long-term goals. But short-term, I do want to be looked at with a little bit more respect. I find that when I'm around older artists, especially the hip-hop scene where I think I fit in the most, I don't have that respect. I don't have that those shout-outs, or I asked to get on tracks and they're like, yeah, okay, buddy, you're just a poet. You're just a... But they didn't know that I was a rapper when I was in like middle school. Same with business. I'm a really smart person, logistical. I'm passionate and I have a keen sense of common sense. And a lot of the time I don't go to college. I don't want to really go to college until I want to. And I guess you can say the business people, the managers, the really the older entrepreneurs kind of look at me crazy when I say that. And that's kind of a sense of seriousness. That's something that even though I don't do this, still I don't have the knowledge that you might have about the old, but I know how things work. I see it. I live in it. I don't just live with my eyes closed, covering my nose and plugging my ears. I live, I breathe, I hear, I adapt. And that's what I want people to understand about me is, yes, I might not be the most incredible person you've ever seen. And I might not get the most beautiful introductions that someone of high caliber would get, but I'm here and I'm nothing to be taken lightly.
Yeah, hell yeah. I didn't go to college either. It is possible you can continue to do stuff without going.
Yeah, but
you just gotta make sure you're, you know, make yourself heard, which you're clearly doing by putting yourself in this position. It's great.
Yeah, I definitely find the short-term goal easier than the long-term because, you know, putting people in their place is something I've done all my life. I've held a certain amount of respect for me just because I was raised by very strong people, so I come off very strong sometimes, and I'm very strong in my actions. So short-term goal is more easier than difficult. My long-term goal is I want to create a legacy, and I don't really have words right now, so I'm gonna throw out this word. Hopefully they don't cancel me on Twitter for this, but I want to build an empire of art. The biggest sense of the word, I want rock, rap, classical, illusions, practicality, magic, theater, in all under my name. I want to create something that, once again, I work in a very unique way. And if I'm able to prove, I guess some people that I gotta prove wrong right now, best believe anybody can do it, and I want to be the one to teach them how. I want to establish institutes. I want to create a movie production that not trumps Hollywood, but gives a different direction to those who don't get picked by the higher ups. Because I've never been picked for anything. Yeah. Oh my God, geez, you don't know how. I think I cried when I found out, because the last time I was told some good news like that, whew, it was when I graduated. But
what is that process like? Like, how do you become Youth Poet Laureate? Are you chosen? Do you have to apply? Like,
just like, you know, any other thing, you apply. I went through, it was a pretty cool process. I had to submit like 5 poems on top of a biography about myself and, you know, just what I would do for the city, blah, 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 blah. And then from there, I don't even think they interviewed me, just because Yeah, they didn't interview me, but this was the real cool part that I didn't even know, and best believe it went straight to my head. I found out that I got picked everybody picked me.
Unanimous.
And they That's did awesome. Not know, they weren't, you know, sitting at a table or anything. So they kind of called each other up. I'm like, hey, you looked at that kid too? So yeah, that's how the process went, and it blows my mind, and I'm still meeting a lot of the people who were in that process. Like in the the judges, I'm still meeting the judges till this day. I have like two more to meet, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, it's amazing. Wow, it's so connected, it's so fluent with how the things work in Worcester. It's creative for sure.
Yeah, but I think you're actually touching on two points at the same time with like, yeah, you were unanimously and anonymously selected, which is fantastic. So that's let your work do the speaking. And it feels like it's through that work and through those efforts that you earn respect. And it's just that people don't know who you are quite yet. And I do think there's a small barrier you're going to have to overcome with showing people that poetry is more than just Maya Angelou. And that it can be whatever you want to make it. It can be this visual and auditory experience that surpasses what you expect at a normal poetry reading. But that's unfortunately where you're going to have to do the hard work and put it on your back. And I mean, I know you're already fit for it, but that's where I see your challenges.
Today I had like thank God I'm doing an interview today because my mind's so full. I just went to this superhero thing and my mentor, he brought up my idol, Bruce Lee. Okay. And he kind of explained to us how he brought together the East and the West. He calls them the bridge of the East to the West. And people were saying that you can't mix Gong Cha with karate. You can't mix the East and the West types of fighting. It's disrespectful. You can't teach the white people the way of the Shaolin. It was nonstop. You can't do this because this, it's already set in stone. And I think that's what it is for poetry. There's so many poets that would be so talented and widely known if the stereotype of what a poet's supposed to be wasn't there. And I think it's so set in stone that it's almost a super villain within the world, that stereotype. And for me, I'm just playing superhero to be laughed at, to be mocked upon, to be the one that the scapegoat, because I am doing these things that the hood wouldn't agree with, the government wouldn't agree with, nobody's really agreeing with, but people are still captivated by it. And that's going to break down so many doors, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Stir that pot. That's the move. Love it. Exactly.
So you said you had to write 5 poems for this. Are you collecting anything for like a book? Do you see, you know, like a writing, that kind of writing in your future?
Well, actually, my book is, I want to say 80% done.
Hell yeah.
It's just at a pause right now just because I'm literally writing a poem for everybody and their mother right now. Everybody wants a poem for me. Everybody wants me to perform. And I'm not somebody who likes too much repetition. So I'm making a lot of poems for not necessarily myself. And in my book, it's the deepest insight I think anybody will ever get into me. I'm so bipolar, so passionately driven that this interview isn't like my last, and that one wasn't like the paper interview or the news interview, because I'm never really one person in the most like non like Silent of the Lambs way. Like I'm not just Ace, Adael, whatever nicknames I have. And that book is going to showcase all the different sides of me, sides that I I don't want to share with the world, but I know and they need to know it. So that's what that book's going to be. And it's called Bath Time with a Serial Killer.
Yeah, that's a deep name.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
You got something, Ricky?
Okay. You said you were a rapper in middle school?
Yeah. I went by a couple of names. I went by Ja'Crispy. I was Ace the Space God. I had Amy. Yeah, I was a load of things, a load of rapper names, because I was about that life, son.
How did you go from, what did you say, Crispy? Ja'Crispy.
So Amy's like my grandmother name.
Okay.
Or my grandmother's name. And people would always like say, like, you're a motherfucker. And I'm like, I'm a grandmother fucker. So my name, I would be the grandmother, and I'd fuck your grandma. So yeah, that's the hardest shit I could think of.
That is, we've been doing this podcast for like almost 4 years.
Yeah.
That is 100% the greatest thing that has ever been said on the show.
Yeah. Oh man.
That's fucking funny. Yeah. That's really funny. Do you write to a beat at all anymore? Or do you always
so my next project with music itself is the 508 Chronicles 3, which is you guys can probably find a real teenage me rapping on the 508 Chronicles and 508 Chronicles 2, which is a bunch of my boys from Burn Code, couple alternative schools, couple of people from a little out in the suburbs and stuff. We all came together to make a Dreamville Wu-Tang kind of album where we're all kind of doing our own little shine. We collaborate. It's really cool. And this third one is the most fine first album to really like have attention on it that I've seen in a while. Like really from like local is kind of what I'm hitting on. And I will be narrating the entire album. I don't know if you guys listen to rap, but Savage Mode, I think 3 with 21 Savage, Metro Boomin, and Morgan Freeman narrated the entire album. That's
awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing. I know it's not really too musical. I won't be spitting any bars on it, but as I said, you can find me in the past spitting a whole bunch of crap. SoundCloud. I used to be Ace the Space God. You can probably find like 2 depressing ass songs on there. I went through that phase. I was every kind of rapper, man. I was popping off. I had many phases. My hair was short, long, red, orange. I had a mullet. That's kind of what I mean. I'm never really one person. And that's why I feel like this book is kind of what I need right now. Never mind the music, never mind that. It's the book that I'm really trying to tone in on, because I got to see what the hell that is. That's coming from within. But, music.
I'm just gonna jump in real quick. I respect that idea though, that you're a bunch of different people and you see yourself changing, because as a fellow artist, like, I'm in my 30s, so I got 10 years on you, but I could see myself changing like hundreds of times, and I've gotten into all these weird and different fascinations, and I feel like I've lived a whole bunch of lives up to this point. And I think that's either common for most creatives or common to the people that are really driven, that you're going to keep testing the water and keep, you know, throwing shit against the wall and see what sticks. And the thing that finally sticks is the thing that you're going to run up and fucking chase up to the moon. But I don't know. I think that's an interesting thing that, and I think it's okay that you're a million different people.
Exactly. I think that emotions are so complex, and when you lean onto emotions like I have all my life, it's it's easy for them to control. And there's a lot of people who feel that, who are very passionate like myself, that nobody really talks about it. People more talk about the mentally, the illness, the personality disorder, schizophrenia, and then other people talk about it as just, you know, good and bad angel on your shoulder. But no, there's something more complex to it, something that can be explained beautifully as long as somebody understands it. And I've been, I wouldn't say practicing, because I'm not somebody who wakes up at 7 a.m. every day to, you know, get on top of the schedule. But I have been learning philosophy for about 6 years now on my own, totally on my own. I hate being taught something that I really like. Same with poetry. The reason why I don't get into actual poets is because when I like doing something, I'm right. I know I'm right because it feels good. Yeah. When it feels good, that's the funk in you. That's the flow. That's energy. The reason why the trees breeze every day, the grass is green every day, the ocean's blue, and it doesn't disrupt is because that's the flow. Who am I to say my flow is wrong? Who am I to say that the sun isn't to come up every day? I'm not God, so I'm going to do what I'm meant to do. And I think that's something that I finally am able to start practicing. And I think that my work is going to change because of it, and might just delve into something that's never really been touched upon in the modern word.
I love that.
Interesting.
That's like such a great way to look at everything. Like, I wish I could look at that. I really do wish I could look at things like that.
I also, I don't mean offense by this, but like, I also think that you're at a unique point in your life, at your early age, that I'm not challenging that you don't understand how things work, but I definitely remember feeling like I understood how everything worked. And then a couple things happened that really just like changed my whole perspective. Truthfully, it was facing my own mortality that really gave me the most perspective in my late 20s. But it's this thing that it continues to adapt and it continues to hone, you know, your understanding and your control of it. And if you don't let it challenge, or not challenge so much as control or fucking change what you're doing, then you're fucking awesome. Like you're sticking through that power because it's going to happen. And like,
you know what that's called? That's called character development. And that's brought to you by irony. Yeah. Irony is, I think, what keeps a lot of people going. It's I just watched the new Batman movie. Once again, just a super geek about superheroes and everything to do with cartoon. But in the new Batman, his whole thing was vengeance. And every little second of the movie, his whole entire philosophy would have to change because of one lie, one truth, one person dying. It is all one step away from exactly what you say, life-changing experience that could make or break somebody. And I've been through things that not even people who are 100 years old has lived through at a very early age. Like, I was supposed to die on many, 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 many occasions. I've lived in third world countries before. People don't really like say, yeah, you know, he lived in Ecuador, cool, palm trees and ocean and good weather. No, there's poverty, man. There's poverty. There's so much poverty out there. And I was part of that. Not just that, but I didn't grow up in the most mentally stable family. A lot of schizophrenia, multiple personality, that sort of like really just heavy illnesses runs deep in my family. And because of that, I've seen firsthand things that are you only see in movies. And I love movies for that. It captures, it imitates life, but not even going to go into that because I'll ramble here forever.
Well, that's probably a good sign too. We could steer this thing towards the end. How do people find out more from you? How do they find you on the internet?
You can find me pretty much all over Worcester, but if you're not outside, you can find me Ace X Meeks on Instagram. No space, because the ace is always battling the Meeks. My Facebook name is Adae Mejia, because I have a lot of family members on there, and you know I like to keep a G. My YouTube is Ace the Space God. Don't look at that. I have like a really old rap video from way back when, but I'm gonna start it up. I'll tell y'all when you can look at that again.
Yeah. And we'll link. And I don't all have this an OnlyFans in the show notes yet,
but when I do, I'll let you guys know.
That's what's up.
I keep telling my lady friend that I'm gonna sell feet pic. Like, I'm just gonna sell feet pics, and that's how I'm gonna make my money. It seems way easier.
That's it. I'm retired.
One of my friends the other day came up to me with a screenshot that somebody asked them if they sell their farts. What?
I am in the wrong business.
That's incredible.
Well, hell, it is pleasure talking to you. Thank you for your contributions to our city. Thank you for being a creative powerhouse in our community, man. And I can't wait to run into you again very soon.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Thank you so much. Really nice to meet you, Ricky. Travis.
Nice to meet you.
You have yourself a good night. Hopefully you have a beautiful dinner waiting for you outside that camera.
I'm gonna watch the Celtics.
Yeah, respect.
Oh my god, they better win tonight. I forgot. You guys are reminding me of everything I need to do today. Thank you.
That's what we're here for.
Y'all have a good night.
Cheers.
Take it easy. Nice to meet you. That was super interesting. I have no idea how anything in the poetry world works, never mind becoming the youth poet laureate. But yeah, I'm excited to see what he does next. He has ideas and he's driven as hell, clearly. I'm excited.
He's a force. I also got to meet his mom at that Creative Hub event, and yeah, I can understand, like, even she is very energetic and just extroverted, you know, just in a happy person. And it's just it was good. It was really, really good. I enjoy seeing it. I enjoy seeing people like that in our community get, I don't know, accolades and get the attention that they deserve. I get the sense every time I'm talking to him that I'm talking to, like, I'm trying to think wisely now if I use this name, because again, there's nobody that brings the attention like this person does, but he's also sometimes insane, but at levels, in his good times, he has that Kanye energy where he really just believes in himself, and he's just like 150% self-confidence, and whatever he touches, he's gonna fucking body.
Yeah.
And like, there's something, I respect the hell out of that as somebody that has imposter syndrome over making a breakfast choice. Like, I envy hearing somebody talk about their endeavors and their own kind of like abilities like that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely I wish that I had that like youthful energy still. That definitely doesn't exist for me. but it was awesome. I mean, he's hyped on everything, which is just so exciting to see, like, hear and watch. And I'm excited to see like what he does next.
And I love that the Worcester Cultural Coalition has this program going and can continue to lift up these voices. Like Amina Muhammad, who was the first Worcester Youth Poet Laureate, she was good. Her poetry was fantastic, but she was very soft-spoken.
So she was at the powwow thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's cool to see that we have a diverse offering of poets.
Totally.
And who knows who's coming next after Ace? You know what I mean?
It's me. Just kidding.
You're too old to be the youth poet laureate. Sorry,
old man.
Wow,
thanks a lot. Just kidding. I also have zero talent.
You have talent. I don't know how you write poetry, though.
I don't have that talent.
I believe in you. Ricky's going to write a poem for Instagram stories one of these
days. Oh, geez. Nobody needs that.
And until that happens, you can keep checking the Instagram at Seltzer Time Official. You could find me at Hunchback Travis or TravisDuda.com, or find us at SeltzerTime.com. I totally stole your line, so you just say what you normally say.
You're good. You're good. You can find me at DickChuck77, SeltzerTime Official. We're everywhere. Yeah. I don't know. That's it. You nailed the website thing. I always forget that.
I also always forget to update it, so somewhere in the middle. We have merch. We have cool shit. Expect the weirdness this summer. Expect episodes when we feel like it, and then probably go full time in the fall again. Who knows, we're getting funky.
We're just living life
and loving it. See you next week, cool cats.
Bye.